Back here on Dodger Weekly on KVFD AM 1400, the voice of Fort Dodge, the show that brings you the newsmakers, movers, and shakers from all around your local area. I've got one of those with me and glad to have him back. He's a congressional candidate for Iowa's 4th District seat. He's Brett Richards. Brett, welcome back to the program. Good to talk to you this morning.
Good morning, Rob. It is good. It is nice to be back again. I hope we can get together face-to-face sometime soon.
Yeah, I hope so, too. And maybe, you know, maybe we're close to that. We're starting to kind of turn the corner a little bit, it seems like, and we're going to certainly talk about that because that has kind of turned into a whole philosophical mess, but we'll get into that in just a minute. But before we do, I want to ask you, you know, you were part of a candidate forum in Spencer earlier this week. Give me your thoughts on that and how that kind of shook out for you.
Well, I had a strong performance at that forum and at the first debate, too. And I think that one thing that was abundantly clear, that the establishment doesn't pick good candidates. Someone else didn't have a great performance. What I presented was the fact that the problems that Washington, D.C. has been kicking down the road, the can down the road for 20 years, aren't that hard. We just got to act on them. We talked about different things that really are important to Iowans. The COVID-19 outbreak, which we'll get to, was a huge topic. But also, we talked about what government's role in our lives should be.
Yeah, and you have a pretty refreshing take and kind of narrative on all that. That's kind of you've painted yourself as this political outsider, and that's really what you are, trying to break in to what you feel is kind of the grassroots form of government and what it should be, right?
Right. You know, I actually, there's no narrative with me. It is who I am. I truly am a guy that someone knows. You know, I'm like someone's neighbor, their cousin. What I do care about is our country, and I know that if we send, you know, citizen legislators, we can actually change Washington, D.C. before it changes us.
You know, last week you put out a statement condemning Steve King and Randy Feenstra for refusing an invite to a televised debate. Did this forum kind of alleviate some of that sentiment for you at all?
Well, I hope we can have more debates because it really is an opportunity to see the distinctions. While the candidates, we're all Republicans and we do have similar values and outlooks, there are distinctions between us. The Iowa PBS debates, the one that Congressman King and Senator Randy Feenstra did not elect to come to. So encouraging thing is I think we're going to have one in Sioux City at the end of May and possibly one up in Mason City yet in the next week or so. I hope so because it truly is important decisions that many voters are actually voting right now with absentee ballots, but some of them will wait to make up their minds until June 2nd. But it's fair that we get out in front of Iowans so they can make the choice.
Yeah, I certainly agree with you. Give the facts to the people and let the people become more familiar with the candidates. And, you know, you made a point in that statement you released last week that because of the COVID-19 outbreak, you know, the candidates haven't been out in front of the public, and this was kind of an opportunity for you guys to do that, this televised debate that Steve King and Randy Feenstra declined to participate in. Now, in that statement you released last week, you had some things to say about Randy Feenstra. You talked about his record of flip-flopping. You called his campaign, quote, Jeb Bush style, and said Feenstra has sold his convictions for the next pack check. Would you elaborate on some of that for folks that maybe are not that familiar with maybe some of that flip-flopping and some of the stuff that you're saying that Senator Feenstra has done in the past?
Yeah, you know, he's recently taken money from a couple of big PACs and gotten endorsement from some people that are definitely to the left of center. The mainstream PAC, actually Congressman King on the debate the other night called it the Rhino PAC. It supports red flag laws. They want to have abortion on demand. And the Chamber of Commerce, another person that endorsed him, they want to have amnesty. And, you know, these are things that Iowans have very strong opinions about because we know that the rule of law is important. We want people to come here legally. We want Congress to get off their butts and fix the things that are wrong so people can come here legally. And we absolutely don't want the government taking our Second Amendment rights.
Yeah, absolutely. That's certainly something that's big in the Republican world and really big to people all over the place is the Second Amendment. Now, you kind of went in on Randy Feenster in that statement, but you didn't have too much to say about Congressman Steve King. Why?
Well, you know, I think it's about where he's getting his money from, what's important when you look at Senator Feenster. He's willing to run many, many TV ads, send out many mailers, but he's not out there meeting the Iowans like I've done. You know, gosh, we've talked so many times. I've been to 30 county fairs. I put 70,000 miles on to 250 campaign events in person before the COVID-19 pandemic hit. And that's what Iowans want. And I think that's the solution to getting money out of politics is us going out and talking to people, not just us having a message on a TV screen. And I think that the fact that you are willing to take money from someone, let's say he does not agree with those facts. Well, why is he taking money from him? Is it just so he can have more money for election and re-election? That's the problem.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you bring up a valid point there with campaign finance reform and things like that as well. And that certainly kind of seems to be a hot button issue, not only in this election, but several others. Brett Richards is my guest. He is a candidate for the 4th District congressional seat running on the Republican ticket. The primary on the Republican side is June the 2nd, and you should have received absentee ballots in the mail. So you can, if you have, you should have, and if you have, you can already turn those in, get those back in, and mail them back in. Now, Brett, businesses have started to reopen. Excuse me. Businesses are starting to reopen. A lot of medical experts say it's too soon. Economists say now's the time. This looks like to me that it's becoming a partisan issue more than anything else. What's your opinion? Is it time to reopen, and has this become a partisan issue?
Well, I hope it doesn't become a partisan issue. And, you know, I'm the board chair of a healthcare center, so I do have a little bit of insight into this. I hear medical experts saying what we've got to do is make sure that we have enough equipment and that we're protecting our hospital people, but we've got to get things going because it's affecting the viability of our small hospitals, too. I mean, we've canceled elective surgeries for months. We've canceled appointments. People who normally get cancer screenings aren't getting them now. So it is a challenge because we want to protect those that are the most vulnerable, but we have to get things opened up. And if we don't, how is our economy going to run? Just on Tuesday, the Democrats said they want to spend another $3 trillion, another $3 trillion, and we can't afford that. You know, we couldn't afford the debt as it was. Now we've added we're going to add maybe $5 or $6 trillion total when this is done on this. We've got to get going, but still take care of the people that are most vulnerable.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I think there's a balance there that is delicate, but I think it's an achievable balance, and I tend to agree with you there. Now, you brought up something interesting. You talked about the smaller hospitals and how this affects them. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but across the 4th District, most of the hospitals in the 4th District would be considered smaller hospitals, right?
Correct. Actually, critical access hospital, I think it's 25 beds and less, are primarily the hospitals that you see. I think it's 100 in the state. Oh, I'm gonna give you the wrong number, but approximately 110 total hospitals in the state, and 84 of them are critical access hospitals. I apologize for not having that number. So most of the hospitals in our state are these smaller hospitals that really have been hurt by it.
Yeah, and that kind of makes a big point that, you know, in this district, it makes it even more imperative to have a balance here so that those hospitals in the 4th District are not then overwhelmed. Now, State Representative Mike Sexton said on this very radio station last week that he feels that we're having more positive cases in this area of COVID-19 basically because of more testing, and not that we are specifically having more virus activity. What's your thoughts on that?
You know, that's a possibility. I don't know that anyone can answer that question with certainty until we have the testing, the studies that require looking back. You know, we'll do a lot of testing, a lot of analysis, but you can't expect that to happen immediately. I think that's probably the case. You know, if you were testing everybody for flu, would you have a higher outbreak of flu? Probably, because you're identifying more of the cases that are subtle. Yes.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you as well on that point. Now, what's next for the Brett Richards campaign here in the immediate future?
Well, we're getting out and talking to people, whether it's on the radio, newspaper, phone, Zoom, and hopefully things will settle down where people will be accepting of us getting out and talking to them face-to-face. We are actually trying to talk to every person that's requested an absentee ballot any way we can, and I think we're generating about 3,000 personal touches a day, whether it's a mail or a call with our big network, talking to people. And that's, again, it goes back to the grassroots, us generating people that want to help and want to take back Washington, D.C.
You know, it feels like you've started to gain some momentum over the last, I guess, 6 or 8 months that you and I have known each other, and you've been on this program several times now. It feels like you are more visible and more known to people than you were 6 months ago when I first met you. I get that feeling when I'm looking around. I'm seeing your name more. I'm seeing what it feels like people becoming aware of you more. Now, my question would be, I know there's 5 people in this primary, yourself, Randy Feenstra, Steve King, Jeremy Taylor, and is it Steve Reeder? Is that?
Yes, that's
Steve Reeder. I knew it was Reeder, but I couldn't remember if it was Steve Reeder. But it feels like to me, Brett Richards, this is a 3-horse race. You, incumbent Congressman Steve King, and Randy Feenstra. What's your feelings on that?
Well, I appreciate the compliment that we've actually done the things that we need to do, get our name and our message out there. And part of it is the fact that we come on and talk to people like you. And you know, I absolutely mean this. You're one of my favorite radio programs to come on. And really, it's kind of one of those overnight success stories. That person, you say, oh, look at that guy. He made it. He put in 10 years of hard work. Well, we put in 16 months of hard work going out and meeting people. And there is traction. There is excitement because people do think that we make better choices here in Iowa than they do in D.C. I think I'm the most accessible candidate. I've given out my cell phone on every radio program I've been on, and I'll do it again, 712-579-4753. You can call me anytime. Anyone can.
Then that's pretty amazing, too, that you would be that accessible. Have you gotten calls when you're giving this number out on the radio now?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll probably get one later this morning from this. And I typically, you know, it depends on the radio program. Sometimes I might say it too fast, so I have to say it 712-579-4753. But I do talk to people when they call me. Occasionally they'll call me, you know, I'm on the phone or doing something else, but I do call them back. It doesn't go to a staffer. It comes to my phone, and I listen to it and call them back.
That's pretty amazing. Do you expect that if you become the congressman for this district that you'll still be able to be that accessible?
I hope so. I'm not planning on changing my cell phone. I realize that it's going to get picked up, and some point in time it'll go to a lot more people. But I don't have a problem with anyone in Iowa having my cell phone. I enjoy talking to Iowans about what's important to them. You know, that's how I learn, because I know that someone in Ivory Tower in Des Moines or D.C. they don't have the answers, Rob. It's the people that do it. It's the healthcare providers, it's the billing clerks, the doctors, the CEOs, the farmers. They know how to do it. We just got to get government out of the way.
Yeah, and kind of give it back to the people and let the people have a little bit more of a say in what they do from a local level. I really like that approach. To me, government has gotten way too big, and you know, there's that narrative out there and people that want more government and bigger government, and I'm a less government guy. I think the people can pretty much do for themselves, not only here in Iowa, but in a lot of places in America, and I think government's kind of overextended itself.
Right. I think, the pandemic proved a major point that if you tell me that, boy, if I go to church and I'm going to spread this disease to someone that's older, maybe I can make a decision on my own that I'm not going to want to put someone that's in my church at risk.
Right.
You know, why? I don't need the government telling me that. And maybe that older person or that person that's at risk can also take that information and say, look, maybe I should go online and go to church that way. Maybe I can do worship in a different way. Or maybe I can go to the grocery store at different times when there's less people. Instead, we get the government telling us what to do.
Brett Richards has been my guest. He is a congressional candidate for Iowa's 4th District seat. That primary takes place on June 2nd. A lot of you have the absentee ballots that have already come in the mail, and you can send those back in. Brett Richards, one kind of final opportunity here on this show, at least. I think we're going to have you back in a couple of weeks, is my understanding. So I'm really happy about that, to have you on one time before the primary. But on this episode, one final opportunity here to kind of tell the people who you are and why you deserve their vote.
Well, I was born in Irwin and raised. I was born in Harlan and raised in Irwin. And what I want people to know is that I grew up very much like they did, working hard, walking beans, changing tires in my parents' service station. And my service in the Army, the fact that I came back to Iowa, I married my high school sweetheart, we came back so we could raise our family with the same values that Iowans have. I think what I got to tell people through your help and through everyone else's is the fact that we make better decisions, and it's the neighbors, the people that you know, that can solve the problems that our country faces.
There you go. Brett Richards has been my guest, richardsforcongress.com. You can find out more about him there on his website. Brett, as always, it's great to visit with you, and I appreciate the time because I know you're busy, so I appreciate you making time, and we'll do it again in a couple of weeks right before the primary.
Thank you so much, and everybody get out and vote.